The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, does God ever turn his back on a nation? Yes, my friend, he does. He's done it many, many times. The Bible is filled with historical accounts of prophets who warned nations to turn from their sins, even God's own covenant nation, Israel. When the prophets were ignored, the nations fell, and we are on such a precipice with the election that is about to unfold. There are more proven crimes, and I mean proven, absolutely proven crimes and scandals with Hillary Clinton than can barely be counted anymore. Now, that was true even before this week's breaking news. In fact, it's been true for years. And this corrupt pile of crime is all extra. It's all on top of her horrific policies and the bungling, inept job she did as Secretary of State. Even if we counted none of that, her stand on partial birth abortion alone should have been enough. If, in the face of this, our country elects her as president anyway, I believe God will turn his back on America. God gives nations the leaders they deserve. But in the meantime, yes, a lot has happened in the news. The FBI case against Hillary was first reopened. Two investigations are technically going on simultaneously, an investigation into the Clinton Foundation and an investigation once again into the whole email server thing to establish motive. Comey came out and mentioned that 9 days ago. Then today, breaking news, he starts walking it back, saying that his mind hasn't changed, that there's nothing about her to be prosecuted, reading these new emails off of Anthony Weiner's email computer. It just goes back and forth. Technically, he didn't say the investigation has been closed. So it's anybody's guess what the heck is going on now. That she had classified information on her server was already an established fact by the FBI, even though she had lied and claimed no such classified material existed. Unfortunately, the spineless FBI director Comey said the case was one that would not be prosecuted because they couldn't establish motive. Ladies and gentlemen, when classified material is compromised, it is already against the law with or without motive. We have a guy in jail for taking a few snapshots of the submarine he was working on and sending them to his family. That doesn't even show up as a percentage point of comparison to all that Hillary has done. And yet people are ready to elect this lady as president. President of the United States. God is watching. God is watching to see the kind of nation we've become. Make no mistake. In any event, the FBI started claiming that motive might now possibly be established with all these new emails, but somehow they got through thousands upon thousands of them in an incredibly short time. Now, there's much scuttlebutt about what caused Comey to change his tune and reopen the case in the first place. The most reliable information was a major revolt within the FBI, sincere agents who are tired of the Justice Department tying their hands. In just 2 days, this radio show will be dated in the sense that the election will be over. Either Hillary or Trump will be president, or I should add this caveat, it will be so close that election fraud will be claimed by whatever side lost. Now, those listening to a recording of this broadcast off of the internet or one of the several KCBQ rebroadcasts already know the outcome while you're listening. But the entire show will not be dated. There's still plenty to catch here, even if you are hearing it after the election, because what will remain is the criminal activity of Hillary Clinton. That's going to remain either way. So we don't have to know the outcome. If she wins, if she doesn't win, she is still a downright criminal who deserves to be in jail. The only difference is that if she does win, it will probably soon be against the law for people like me to come on the air and call her a criminal. Instead, we will be labeled the criminals. We'll be charged with hate speech. Hate speech, incidentally, will be defined as anybody who wins an argument with a liberal or who criticizes a Democratic president or who takes any position that is not politically correct. Anyway, she hasn't won yet, but her cheerleaders in the mainstream media are doing everything they can to carry her across the finish line. Remember just a couple of days ago, the geniuses at CNN were accusing the FBI of being partisan for investigating Hillary. They probably love the FBI today. But a couple of days ago, they were accusing the FBI of being partisan because they were investigating Hillary. I don't suppose the Obama Justice Department was being partisan when it ordered the FBI to stop investigating the Clinton Foundation. Nah. Democrats are never partisan. They're just Democrats. Speaking of which, people are talking about how Obama should pardon Hillary or could pardon Hillary during his lame duck session, even if they do find something. And they are still, again, hopefully investigating the Clinton Foundation. Now, of course, you got to think about this. If Obama pardons her, that would mean he'd have to admit that she's guilty of something. You don't call somebody innocent and then pardon them of a crime. But, oh, how this gets spun in the meantime. Here's a robotic talking point that I would love to see retired. It's nothing new. We have been hearing it for years whenever a scandal breaks in Washington, whoever the politician is. And then on talk shows, we get treated to the following from surrogates of politicians who are being investigated for scandal. Surrogates who have so much contempt for our population that they assume and hope people are just plain stupid. And we hear the American people don't want to hear about this. They just want to get back to the issues. Yeah, the issues. Reality check. Crooked politicians who compromise our national security for greed are the issues. Time to retire this tired drivel. Another tactic is to invent a scandal with the opponent. Harry Reid, for example, says Trump is working with Russia. He provides nothing, absolutely nothing by way of evidence, mind you, but this doesn't stop him from opening his Grand Canyon-sized mouth. Remember in 2012 when he said from the Senate floor that Romney had not paid any taxes? That has been disproven, and later, when confronted with the lie, Reid smiled and said he didn't win, did he? Oh, I guess the rules that you can just now make up anything. Okay, we can make up anything. How about this? Did you know that when Disney made the movie Pinocchio, they were originally going to call it Harry? They decided not to because his nose grew so big it was breaking the camera. Oh, wait. That lie won't do. Chances are that really happened. And then, if the diversionary tactic doesn't work, they can always pull out the racist, sexist card. Hillary supporters are whining again that the only reason people object to her is because she's a woman. It's because she's a woman. Yeah. It couldn't possibly be her scandals and nightmarish policies. Trump should just declare that he feels like he himself is a woman. Permission to make such personal assessments about your gender are embraced by Hillary. So why not? And then we also have the timing argument. Hillary, on the day she heard that the FBI was reopening the investigation, said it was strange timing. Very strange timing to have the FBI investigation come so soon before an election. Yes, kind of like the strange timing of female Trump accusers all coming forth at the same time after they were silent for a period spanning 30 years. And here's what was strange a few months ago. Director Comey listing all of Hillary's misdeeds with classified information and then saying he is not going to recommend prosecution. At this point, nobody knows why he was finally doing his job in reopening the investigation any more than his decision to, again, he hasn't said he's going to close it, but it looks like they might close it 2 days before the election. How about that for suspicious timing? And, of course, people were going back and forth. Had he made his intentions to investigate clear before the election, he would have in time come under just as much criticism, if he had not made his intentions to investigate clear before the election. If he had waited, talked about it after one of them came into office, then the Republicans would have been accusing him of holding information, suppressing information. He releases it ahead of time. He's accused of releasing information. So that, too, could have been viewed as influencing the election. And politically, he was in a no-win situation. So, Comey, if you're in a no-win position politically, I've got some advice for you. Forget politics and do your stupid job. So I don't know what's going on. It seems like he caved into pressure from the FBI agents who were revolting, and then I believe Obama got to him again somehow. There is just no way Hillary Clinton's going to be prosecuted of anything, whether it's the email scandals, whether it's a Clinton. It's not going to happen under Obama's watch, because to prosecute her, they'd have to prosecute him. He is implicated as well. He went on the air and said he knew nothing about her emails. He learned the same day the rest of us learned in the news. Funny thing is, when the WikiLeaks came out, there were correspondences to Hillary's private server from President Obama. So, of course, he's going to give his directions to Loretta Lynch, and she's going to give hers to Comey. Donald Trump is right. We need to drain the swamp. If he doesn't get elected, that swamp will probably never be drained. Now, I did see Hillary's 5-minute press conference about the FBI reopening the investigation last week. Or was that 4 minutes? Her press conferences are so long. She gives so many of them, it's hard to keep track of the time. But in this press conference, when Comey came out and said they were reopening the case, she encouraged people to go out and vote early. You think? Yeah. Quick, fast. Who knows what might come up about me if you wait till election day. Anyway, when she was not attacking the FBI last week or reminding you that she's at least better than Trump, Hillary has tried to offer one or two real reasons to vote for her. Hillary says kids and family have been her passion. Really? Well, that just brings a tear to my eye, and I'll tell you why it brings a tear to my eye when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
We'll be right back.
What is the reason to vote for Hillary? Well, up to now, what we've mostly heard is she's not Trump. Okay. But she finally came up with a better one. Kids and family have been her passion. Well, bust my buttons. That just puts a smile on my face and a pace in my step. I guess that doesn't apply to the 13-year-old rape victim whose perpetrator Hillary got off. She laughed about it, fully knowing the man was guilty, and that's not innuendo. That's all on tape. Oh, well, that's just one exception. Oh, wait. I guess there's all those unborn children in the womb who would also be exceptions, along with babies already partially born. Regarding that latter procedure, aptly called partial birth abortion, Hillary shamelessly admitted her support during the last debate. Yes, indeed. She's the champion of the children, all right. She could still win. In fact, she could still win even if she doesn't win. Lately, the word rigged has been used repeatedly by Donald Trump regarding our current election. Now, part of what he means is that our liberal media is obviously in the tank for Clinton, given the unfair proportion by which they cover his lewd video comments and female accusers to the amount of time they have spent on the tens of thousands of WikiLeaks. But Trump's concern goes beyond the media and into the election itself. Trump said, "The election is absolutely being rigged by the dishonest and distorted media pushing crooked Hillary, but also at many polling places." Now, Democrats, including President Obama, have criticized the GOP candidate sharply for such irresponsible rhetoric. In fact, Obama actually suggested publicly that Trump should quit whining. Those are his words. Quit whining about election fraud because, quote unquote, no serious person could believe in rigged elections. Obama also said, "I have never seen in my lifetime or in modern political history any presidential candidate trying to discredit the elections and the election process before votes have even taken place." He protests too much. Does anybody think for 1 minute that if the Dems lose this election, they won't claim election fraud? Does anybody think that if Trump pulls this out, the Democrats aren't going to claim fraud? Should Trump win, you watch. You just watch for the following talking points from the Democrats. One, African Americans were blocked at the polls and not allowed to vote. Two, well, it must have been a fraud in as much as the election results do not match our very accurate polls taken ahead of time. Sound far-fetched? Those exact claims have been given before. Regarding the insinuation of fraud because votes did not match pre-polls, we heard this one when Bush beat Kerry in 2004. Well, Kerry did finally concede the election. He also said later to the New Yorker that, quote-unquote, proxies for Bush had rigged many voting machines. As for claims of African-American suppression, this has been a song and dance from many organizations for years, but I'll just pick one, People for the American Way. This progressive liberal organization includes the following on their list entitled Voter Intimidation and Suppression in America Today. First of all, they said it challenges threats against individual voters at the polls by armed private guards, off-duty law enforcement officers, local creditors, fake poll monitors, and poll workers and managers. And then two, the second thing under their list of voter intimidation and suppression in America Today, signs posted at the polling place warning of penalties for voter fraud or non-citizen voting or illegally urging support for a candidate. Now, many of the suppression claims where they say African Americans weren't allowed to vote, many of those are anecdotal. They come with no proof. But here's another obvious observation that needs to be made. These people, the PFAW, who claim to be about fair elections, why do they express right on their list concern over signs that warn of election fraud? They say they're about challenging election fraud, and one of the ways they challenge it is to express disdain if there's a sign at the polls warning that it's against the law to have election fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, it is against the law. If anybody out there wants to enforce the law anymore. And let us not forget the year 2000 when Al Gore demanded a recount to the point of taking matters to the courts. Now, Democrats do not limit their concerns to post-election chatter. In the year 2008, candidate Obama, then Senator Obama, warned us ahead of time against election fraud. This is very interesting in light of his present-day rebuke of Trump articulating the same fear. It happened while campaigning at Kent State. Somebody in the audience asked if he could offer any guarantee that the election would not be rigged. Obama said, well, I tell you, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines. But look, I come from Chicago, so I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have, too. Also, apparently Obama did know an example from modern political history of a presidential candidate trying to discredit the elections and the election process before votes have even taken place. Oh, that's right. He was running himself back then, and therefore his concerns were justified. Hypocrisy runs beyond the observation that Democrats often express the same concerns as Republicans. There is also the question of whether the GOP has a right to be presently concerned in the here and now. It is Democrats, after all, who try to push back against states asking for voter identification. Even though people need ID for just about any other transaction in life, including boarding a plane, checking into a hotel, registering at a school, or getting inside the 2016 Democratic Convention, for that matter. Meanwhile, just to cover the bases, many of these same Democrats claim that undocumented workers should be entitled to a driver's license anyway. On what planet are such crusades compatible with fair elections voted upon only by citizens? The efforts have obtained some success. In California, thanks to AB 60 passed by the Democratic State Congress, one need not prove citizenship to apply for a driver's license. And just this year, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit ruled that voter ID requirements in Texas are discriminatory. Meanwhile, according to how's voter ID discriminatory? They tell every person that in order to vote, they have to have an ID. Every person, whether you're black, whether you're white, it's the opposite of being discriminatory. Doesn't matter. We just listen to the courts now and we roll over and we play dead. Meanwhile, according to Cooperative Congressional Election Study, some 14% of non-citizens sampled in 2008 and 2010 shamelessly claimed that they had registered to vote. And those are just the ones admitting it. Let me say that again. 14% of non-citizens have claimed that they are registered to vote. Fraud is not limited to non-citizens, though. According to Watchdog.org, 6 million Americans are registered to vote in more than one state. How do you like them apples? But it gets even better. Now, to all of you skeptics and doubters who don't believe in a resurrection from the dead, take in this one. Resurrections are proven every election year. People long since deceased climb out of the coffin, find their way to the local polls, vote, and return to the grave only to pop back and vote again in another 4 years.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Check out this reader's comment about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, but Mr. Siegel's book was like no other I've ever read on the subject. He does not attack the skeptic for his views. He respects the belief of his readers. I highly recommend this book to anyone who's ever had questions or confusion about Christianity. And here's another reader's comment. I come from a Muslim, atheist background, but it still carried weight with me. I normally pass books on to friends when done reading them. This one, I'm holding on to for a while. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
One of our recurring themes on the Bob Siegel Show is we talk a lot about the resurrection of Christ. I provide historical evidence, and occasionally I have atheists on the show who thinks it's nonsense to believe in the resurrection, and yet resurrections are proven every election year because dead people are voting in our elections. Former voting section attorney at the U.S. Department of Justice, J. Christian Adams, shared in an interview with Fox News that U.S. voter fraud lists include some 4 million dead people on U.S. voter rolls. Adams has personally filed suits this past year against Philadelphia and Broward County, Florida. Now, these are places where, according to him, the registrations are compromised. Adams even cited a Texas case of a voter who died in the year 1944. He's been dead since 1944, and he's still voting. Adams claims that leftist groups have a habit of filing lawsuits to keep these names on the list, and that the Obama administration seems uninterested in purging the problem. Here's a quotation from him. Dead people are voting, and it's something this administration does not want to do anything about. They must like it. They must like who they are voting for. Now we have 4 million Steve ineligible and dead voters on American voter rolls, according to the Pew Charitable Trust. Now, ladies and gentlemen, at this point, nobody can predict the election results of 2016. But one thing is certain, if the election is close, we are in for a long, protracted battle. I'm inclined to think, and I've said for a long time, that if Trump starts gaining momentum and it starts looking close, there's so many people who are enthused about Trump, but also so many people who know that it's very unpopular to admit that you're voting for Trump. So if you put all of them together, I would think he'd start doing better in the polls, leading in some places, but that in reality, we would have an effect kind of like when England left the European Union. So I believe that if by tomorrow night Trump is ahead, or he's gaining momentum, he's ahead in many local polls, he's within the margin of error in national. If that's still the case the night before the election, it's very possible that he'll not only win, but win by a blowout. However, I've been wrong before. Predicting election results is not my forte, so don't take that to the bank. What I can guarantee you, though, is that if it isn't a blowout, if it's close, then it's not going to be over. People may be anxious to see this tumultuous election year draw its curtain, but unless somebody wins by a landslide, we are going to be treated to Act 3. And Act 3 will probably be longer than Acts 1 and 2 together. Meanwhile, so much information is coming out about Hillary Clinton through the courtesy of WikiLeaks that few can keep up with it. A myriad of email conversations. The FBI may not be doing their job, but WikiLeaks is doing theirs. By the way, the head of WikiLeaks insists it has nothing to do with the Russians. That's never been proven. It's possible. Anything's possible. But at the moment, it's nothing but a Democratic talking point. There's a theory that somebody from the FBI could be leaking it, which would make a lot of sense if they were the ones that got into their emails and were doing an investigation. There might actually be a few FBI agents who care about justice. We do know that there's been a revolt amongst FBI agents. Some of them have confidentially talked to former FBI agents. So that much we know. So anyway, but however you slice it, there are a myriad of email conversations. And the Clinton administration, or not administration, the Clinton campaign has not denied any of these. They talk about Russia leaking it, but they don't come out and claim that they're false, because if they should be proven otherwise, they don't want to incriminate themselves even more. So the spotlight is on her. The spotlight is on her email conversations. It's spotlighted square at her campaign, her foundation, her tenure as Secretary of State, and her personal history. Some of the information suggests, well, again, doesn't just suggest, it proves downright criminal activity. Other information proves lies. And still other information is merely embarrassing, even though it's not against the law. Now, unfortunately, information overload can cause people to dismiss the entire plethora of scandals altogether. Give us one juicy scandal about Watergate and it gains traction. You get a bunch of scandals, and after a while, it's easier for people to believe it's some Republican conspiracy. How can one person be guilty of so many things? It's possible, people. It's called evil. Anyway, it might be best to concentrate on one revelation at a time. Let me do that right now. Such as an interesting email exchange between Hillary campaign chairman John Podesta, campaign spokeswoman Jennifer Palmieri, and John Halpin, a senior fellow from the Center for American Progress. While talking about Fox News' Rupert Murdoch's decision to raise his children in the Catholic Church, conservative Catholics and evangelicals were described in very unflattering ways. Halpin said, "It's an amazing bastardization of the faith. They must be attracted to the systematic thought and severely backwards gender relations and must be totally unaware of Christian democracy." Palmieri added, "I imagine they think it's the most socially acceptable politically conservative religion. Their rich friends wouldn't understand if they became evangelicals." To which Halpin said, "Excellent point. They can throw around Thomistic thought and subsidiary and sound sophisticated because nobody knows what the hell they are talking about." In another exchange with Sandy Newman, founder and president of Voices for Progress, Podesta said, "The whole controversy with the bishops opposing contraceptive coverage, even though 98% of Catholic women and their partners have used contraception, has me thinking there needs to be a Catholic spring in which Catholics themselves demand the end of a Middle Ages dictatorship and the beginning of a little democracy and respect for gender equality and the Catholic Church." Now, undoubtedly, the references to gender equality go beyond contraceptives to include same-sex marriage and abortion. In other words, the Catholic Church just does not yet have the correct progressive view of those social issues. Such snobbery and disdain should come as no surprise. While some have defended Clinton by suggesting that she should not be held responsible for the words of her associates, it's unlikely that Hillary is surrounding herself with people she does not agree with. One has only to look at her own words. At a campaign event in August of 2015, Hillary Clinton, while renouncing the pro-life viewpoints of several Republican candidates, said something chilling. And I'll tell you what it was when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others sadly do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Ashes we
So you think Hillary is pro-choice? You're wrong. She's pro-abortion. She's not pro-choice. She doesn't want you to have a choice. If she did, if she thought it was just a matter of well-intentioned people making different choices, why would she compare pro-life people to terrorists? In August 2015, Hillary Clinton, in the midst of renouncing the pro-life viewpoints of several Republican candidates, there were several candidates still in the race back in 2015, she said this, "Now, extreme views about women, we expect that from some of the terrorist groups. We expect that from people who don't want to live in the modern world. But it's a little hard to take from Republicans who want to be the president of the United States." That same year, in a speech to the Women of the World Conference, she explained that our existing laws about abortion are not enough. You got to wonder about this. It's already, according to the law, okay to have an abortion. So why isn't that enough? Well, it's not enough. She says, although she does not explain how, pro-life beliefs, the beliefs themselves, must be changed. Here are her words, and they are absolutely harrowing. "Far too many women are denied access to reproductive health care and safe childbirth. And laws don't count for much if they're not enforced. Rights have to exist in practice, not just on paper. Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will, and deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structure biases have to be changed." Somebody's running for president of the United States, the highest office in the land, and they think you have a belief that has to be changed. Do you think she's not going to do something to change your belief, even if your belief doesn't really change internally? And exactly how does she intend changing religious beliefs and biases? Will it be limited to the inspiration of a civil war within the Catholic Church, as suggested by the WikiLeaks emails? Or will this involve some actual political muscle? Don't forget, if Hillary Clinton gets into power and appoints even one liberal Supreme Court justice, the balance of power on the court will shift to five liberals, three conservatives, and one swing voter who might make his decision based on whether he enjoyed his breakfast that morning. Our country will no longer be a republic. It barely is anymore anyway, but it will no longer be a republic then, and will instead be run by an oligarchy that can deem any law as unconstitutional, be it a law from Congress or a law passed through a ballot measure by the people. All we need is a lawsuit that challenges such laws. Supposing somebody feels threatened emotionally because they are exposed to a pro-life discourse of some kind. Supposing a lawsuit is waged which makes its way to the Supreme Court. All the court has to do is decide that speaking against a woman's right to choose is hate speech. And that's it. It's over. Ditto for speaking against same-sex marriage. We're this close from that happening anyway. It is not so far-fetched a possibility when we remember that Hillary Clinton likens pro-life supporters to terrorists. And only recently this year, while talking about Trump supporters, Hillary described those who may disagree with a gay lifestyle as homophobes, a term used in the same sentence by her as racist. Whatever her future plans for dealing with pro-life positions, traditional marriage values, and other religious liberties, Hillary's disdain held for conservative Catholics and evangelicals is undeniable. Just imagine if instead of a series of emails from her campaign staff, a WikiLeaks email came forth from the Donald Trump campaign making disparaging remarks about Muslims. There would be hell to pay, and the media would demand this payment 24/7. But don't look to our mainstream media for consistency, and don't expect them to analyze the logical, suppressive conclusions of leftist ideology. Our country is far more preoccupied with the loose cannon speech of Clinton's opponent, Donald Trump. His track record of insulting comments and lewd braggadocio caught on tape invokes much more of a reaction than any policy that might limit our freedom of religion or freedom of speech. We have become such a politically correct culture that we react more to somebody's unfiltered mouth than a candidate who talks about the rights of women but ignores the rights of baby women, even those in the womb, babies who at full term could survive outside the womb and instead are put to death by partial birth abortion. Those who object, those who wish to protect those babies are likened to terrorists. That is the heritage of the PC movement. We ignore evil, but oh, have we grown sensitive to words. Well, if you'd like to weigh in on any of this, you can always reach me through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Regarding last week's radio show with Mike Friedenberg, where Mike gave a prediction, he actually called it, that Trump would win, Melinda writes, "I sure hope so. You don't smash phones and computers if you are innocent and have nothing to hide." Now, James listened to both recent programs with Mike Friedenberg, and he writes, "Hi, Bob. Great show as always. Really enjoyed your guest Mike Friedenberg's optimism and fire. Wish your show was 1 to 2 hours longer. Take care." Well, thank you for those kind words, James. They're much appreciated. Yes, it would be nice to make the show 1 or 2 hours longer. But I have a feeling if Hillary wins, conservative talk radio will suddenly become 1 or 2 hours shorter. Concerning Obama needing to admit Hillary is guilty before pardoning her, Dave says implicitly yes. But take a look at SCOTUS 1867. It says a pardon has legal basis even if it is issued prior to any charges being filed. That's interesting. So Obama can pardon Hillary, Bill, and anyone else, regardless of whether or not formal charges have been filed. That is very interesting, Dave. He would still have to admit that a case was being made against them, though. But I suppose he could spin that as a right-wing conspiracy. That's their default position. And Melinda weighs in again. She says, "Hillary requires too many pardons to consider any basis of legal standing being provided by a disbarred, equally guilty, shared responsibility partner in crime." She's talking about Obama. She says this, of course, a purely personal, unprofessional, mindless observation from a deplorable's perspective. John says they don't care. Teddy says, "Bob, they don't know anything about guilt, sin, morality, etc. I'm embarrassed for our country and apologize to the world for the incompetence of our government. They do not represent the majority of citizens." Well, don't apologize to the world, Teddy, because we're becoming like the world. We're emulating other countries in the world. They've probably been waiting for us to get with it and jump on board. Regarding CNN claiming the FBI is biased because they reopened the charges, Cheryl likes what I had to say on Facebook, along with Della, Christine, David, Max, Diane, Randy, Linda, Judy, Pam, Janine, Melinda, Maurice, Sharon, Amanda, Donna, and Valerie. Steve writes, "Birds of a feather, and in this case, jailbirds of a feather. LOL. Lord, help us all. We need your healing on our land." Isn't there a movie title for her called Enemy of the State? Buying a home? Selling a home? It goes without saying that you need somebody experienced and skilled, but you also need a realtor you can trust, a man who will look out for your interests as if they were his own. This is Bob Siegel, here to steer you the right direction with just two words, Fred Felduti. Fred works with Realty Executives All Area, a company that has sold thousands of homes locally since 1994. Putting your home up for sale or selling a home can be stressful, filled with decisions you never anticipated. So put your mind at ease and call Fred Felduti. He sold my home for me at top price. Every step along the way, I benefited from his wisdom and a very generous usage of his time. By the way, Fred Felduti received the Executive of the Year Award for 2014. What? You say that was a couple of years ago? Listen, wise guy, do you want to mark the calendar or do you want somebody to sell your home for you? Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Felduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-401-2150. That's 619-401-2150 or fredfelduti.com.
The verdict is in on Bob Siegel's novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Readers love it, and they say as much in their customer reviews. Reviews such as this one. Like the Chronicles of Narnia in the last century, the story is fun and mysterious, appropriate for adults as well as kids, and should become a classic. I won't even give any spoilers, but I will say that I couldn't put it down. It makes a point without being preachy. There are twists and turns and a great ending. Like the title object, the story challenges your thinking without leaving you in despair. This book would make an excellent Christmas gift for yourself or others, and it can be enjoyed at any time of the year. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay, going through some of your comments about my comments regarding stupid talking points about Americans not being interested in Hillary's scandals and instead wanting to get back to the issues. David writes, doing an impersonation of Obi-Wan, "These aren't the emails you're looking for. Move along, move along." Hilarious, David. I'm a Star Wars fan myself. I wish the Jedi were here to run our country. Even Emperor Palpatine would be an improvement over Hillary. Steve says, yes, I agree. The issue is she is a crook, and we want to see how far or how high it goes, even though we will not get the whole truth ever. As Mr. Trump says, drain the swamp or clean the toilet. Regarding Harry Reid's accusations about Russia, Bill says, Bob, it seems that some politicians will and have said anything, regardless of the truth, to slander others, lying to Congress and the American people to further their own agenda. That they have. Regarding people claiming that we only object to Hillary because she's a woman, I love what Ed says. Ed says, voting for Hillary Rodham Clinton because she is a female is like drinking antifreeze because it looks like Gatorade. And now let's hear from an honest-to-goodness woman and her opinion of Hillary. Teddy, who we read a moment ago, says, I wish people would vote on the facts and not what the biased media puts out there. We'd live in a better world. Well, I appreciate that, Teddy. By the way, have you know one of the reasons I read you these lists of names, there is a method to my madness. Have you noticed how many women on Facebook have agreed with the points I'm making? They aren't supporting Hillary simply because she's a woman. Now, that doesn't mean they're wild about Trump either. They're not. But they recognize that there are more important matters facing the future direction of our country than whether or not Trump has a big mouth and whether or not Trump says lewd things. Russ says, so where was Hillary and all of her supporters when Sarah Palin was being viciously attacked for being a woman? She was not involved in any criminal activities or corruption. Her husband was not accused of sexual abuse and rape. Yes, well, it's a different standard for Republican women. Regarding Hillary telling people to vote early in wake of the scandals, Al, Ginger, James, Brendan, and Fran like what I had to say. Regarding election fraud, Max says, I read there has been a surge of World War I veterans voting for Hillary. Yeah, well, there's only a handful of them alive, so it must be quite a surge. But again, we have resurrections from the dead. This is Sandra. She says, as you know, I'm no Trump fan, but even I can see the fake issue that is being created. Verifying the integrity of the process has always been a valid concern. And by shaming people who stand on their rights or voters who desire transparency, the media, etc., are losing what little credibility they have left. Little credibility they have left, Sandra? I think that ship sailed a long time ago. Anyway, Sandra wraps it up by saying, if I remember the hanging chads, then surely they must. Regarding Hillary saying she's the champion of children, Lori responds to my comment about Hillary defending a rapist in court and getting him off. She says, I'm going to be fair here and say this because people have defended Hillary saying she was just doing her job because all people are entitled to a fair trial. In her book, she says it was a very difficult choice she made to take the case. So let's not throw stones at Hillary Rodham Clinton for defending the guy, right? But somewhere between defending this guy and ripping out whatever innocence was left of this 12-year-old, it was actually a 13-year-old, but that's okay. She says 12-year-old. This 12-year-old girl brought the worst of Hillary to the surface. I think it's what turned her into the person she is today. She's talking about Hillary now, the person Hillary is today. Cynical, calculating, deceptive, callous, and mean. Listening to that tape of her bragging to her peers about the case and how she lost all trust in polygraph tests, it's very disgusting. She laughed. It said, well, yes, Lori, it is true that everybody deserves a fair trial and lawyers do their jobs. But in this case, I simply do not believe her when she says it was difficult for her. And that's precisely because of the laughter. Also, I believe defense attorneys have a moral obligation to not defend somebody who they know to be guilty. They may think, they may suspect. If they actually know for a fact that the guy's guilty, I don't believe they should defend him. Now, if they still want to justify doing so because somebody has to do it, so be it. The laughter is nevertheless inexcusable. Regarding our own responsibility, if we elect a criminal like Hillary Clinton, Chris says, truth. Janice says, this is shame on us, not her. But Melinda says, we are, and I am, fighting against her at all costs. So no shame on us and no shame on me. Shame on the others who don't care or do not pay attention. Ladies and gentlemen, I know so many of my fellow Christians who say they just cannot in good conscience vote for a man like Donald Trump. And it always sounds good to say that we're following our conscience. But let me tell you something. If Hillary comes into power and systematically eliminates the rights of Christians, I already told you that she wants to make it against the law to even take a pro-life position. And you already see what's going on when a Christian baker or a Christian photographer feels it's against their conscience to go to a great wedding. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be hearing from your conscience, and you're going to have to make choices based on what your conscience tells you to do a whole lot more than you're used to if this woman gets elected. It may make you feel better to say, oh, I was so disgusted by both of them that I just didn't even vote at all. That's going to make you feel good, but there are greater stakes. You need to get over it. You need to rise above it. Back in 08, I went on the air and told Christians just exactly what would happen if Obama became president. Because a lot of Christians supported him, a lot of evangelical Christians. A couple of months ago, I came back on the air and I reread over the air exactly what I had said to my Christians. And you would have thought that I was a prophet, but I'm not a prophet. I'm just somebody who pays attention. What I have to say about Hillary, my concerns about Hillary, forget her lying, forget her criminal activity. Just look at the policies themselves and look at what she's telling the truth about. It's like Obama. You know, I used to say, I'm not afraid Obama's going to break his campaign promises. I'm afraid he's going to keep them. I'll be back with you next week, at which time I'll be celebrating, or I'll be shrugging my shoulders and saying, well, God is still on his throne. Be well, my friends. Courage.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.